Welcome to Chip Health with Dr. Hans Diehl. On today's broadcast, we'll discover effective ways to be healthy by choice and not by chance. Gaining and maintaining optimum health is possible at any age. That's what thousands are learning at the CHIP programs, the Coronary Health Improvement Project offered across the country and around the world. So get ready to feel better, think clearer, and enjoy a closer walk with God. I'm your CHIP Health host, Charles Mills. Many people believe that medicines sold without a prescription are safe and have no side effects. Of course, many people used to believe that the world was flat. It didn't change the facts. Neither does our ignorance on the dangerous secrets hiding within the endless stream of drugs we so freely dump into our bodies. Today, we separate fact from fiction as we examine what can only be described as legalized drug abuse. Dr. Hans Diehl is with us to prove once and for all that the world really is round. Dr. Diehl, you once wrote that the way some people use drugs remind you of a sledgehammer. What did you mean by that?
It seems that we overdo something. You know, a sledgehammer is something that you use when you really pound a large pole or something.
Yeah.
And what we are suggesting here is that for every little discomfort, we rush into the medicine cabinet.
This is true.
And these drugs then become almost like sledgehammers. They're just too heavy. They're too strong. They're too powerful. They have too many side effects. We can probably handle many of these common ailments by just making some simple lifestyle adjustments or just wait it out and we'll be okay. So we are suggesting that we need to save the sledgehammer to be used when it's really needed. You know, classic example is a person have the sniffles, you know, so you have a runny nose and you want to dry it up or so. And so you go to your physician and he doesn't want to give you some antibiotics, but you have this idea that, you know, I have a bacteria, I have some inflammation, there's some infection, I need to have some antibiotic. And so he said, well, actually, this is probably a virus, and an antibiotic doesn't really do too much for you, but somehow you insist, I need to have that, doctor. And, you know, he doesn't want to argue, he has only 6-7 minutes to give you a prescription, and so he just, he gives in to you, and you're a good customer, and you're a good friend, and so he gives it to you. But he knows in his heart it probably doesn't do much good. Mm-hmm. And guess what happens? That runny nose is not going to be affected by the antibiotics, but the antibiotic could really affect you adversely in many, many ways that people don't think about, because you have used a sledgehammer to take care of something that would have happened to go away within 3, 4, 5 days. You would have just taken a lot of fluid. You would have been a little bit more careful to rest enough, get to bed earlier, and in 5, 6, 7 days, you would have been okay. But instead, you take the antibiotics, and in 10 days, you have to take it for 10 days. In 10 days, it's gone. It's like, see, I was right. You know, it's gone. Now, it would have been gone after 7 days without it. See? But this is then what we sometimes mean by the common belief that for every ill, there is a pill.
Pill, yeah.
See?
And an attached bill, I have to add.
Yeah,
that
that's true.
Yeah, okay. The problem is that we have become, in this society, Dr. Diehl, we have become so desirous of immediate effects. We look in the mirror and we say, I don't feel good at all. I want to feel good in the next 20 to 30 minutes. We don't want to wait around for nature to take its course. And so we take these pills that basically, in many cases, mask the problems. But are we setting ourselves up? Are you saying we're setting ourselves up for more problems by doing it that way? If we're sick, are we supposed to be patient to get well? Is that what you're telling us?
Well, it depends what it is. I mean, the most important thing when you have some kind of a symptom is to find out whether this is something serious or it's something benign. Uh-huh. And so you wait around for 2 or 3 days. If it stays, you see your doctor, you call your nurse, and you say, by the way, I have this and this. What do you recommend I do? And if it sounds like it could be something serious, then they'll call you and then you check things out and the doctor will assess whether this is really serious or not. And in 80% of the cases, it's something very benign. It's going to be gone in 10 days anyway. But We oftentimes think that we have to medicate ourselves, and so we go to these over-the-counter drugs, and we find the Advil and the Motrins and acetaminophen, and so we find all these different kind of medications, and we begin to take care of ourselves. I mean, we have been told, you know, be sure you take your aspirin every day, especially if you're over 40 years of age, because, you know, it thins down your blood, and then you don't have to worry as much about heart disease and strokes and so on. Well, you know, there's something to that. But, you know, if we would just have a little different diet, you can thin the blood much, much easier. You wouldn't have to worry about some of the side effects of aspirin. I mean, really. Aspirin, yes, we take it for our headaches, for flu, for fever. Yeah, it comes, it's always there. And so we consume 45 tons of aspirin every 24 hours here in America.
Oh my goodness, oh my goodness.
And we have no idea that aspirin can promote stomach ulcers. It has been associated with Reye syndrome, which is a fatal disease in children. That's why we don't give aspirin anymore to children. And in older people, it can actually trigger a hemorrhagic stroke. It can actually cause some bleeding into the brain because it thins down the blood sometimes too much. And yet we could have handled that with just having a little different diet, and you would have thinned down the blood very naturally without the possible side effects. What we need to help people understand is when we reach out to these sledgehammers, even though they sound very innocent, we always have to worry about getting bruised by these sledgehammers, because they have sort of a rebound, you know, they have sort of recoil. We get bruised by them. There is not one drug, whether it's over-the-counter or prescription drug, that doesn't have any side effect. And physicians have to always weigh the potential benefits versus the potential risks. And that's what always the trick is. Is this aspirin going to be needed to provide the benefit that I want to have for my patient? Or do I have to be concerned about some of the side effects? What is the best way to handle this? And oftentimes, we settle for the prescription drugs because that's what people want, and that's what the pharmacy rep, you know, the drug company rep has recommended to the doctor. And so we find ourselves in those time binds where we have to diagnose the ill, then we match it with a pill, we meet the expectation of the patient. He's going out of the office with his trophy in his hand. I got my prescription.
I'm safe.
I'm cured.
All right. Okay. You make an important point here, because we have to realize that not only every drug, prescription or otherwise, but everything we put in our bodies has a side effect. An apple has a side effect. Broccoli has a side effect. It just so happens that these side effects are good. So don't think of side effects as a bad thing, but just differentiate between the good and the bad side effects. Am I on the right track here?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, sure, you're right.
All right. So we want side effects. We want side effects, but we want the good side effects. So let's look for the good side effects in what we put into our bodies. Very, very important that we differentiate that.
But you know what, Charles, when it comes to drugs, and I'm talking now no longer about over-the-counter drugs, where people just can reach out and buy what they want, but I'm talking now about prescription drugs. I'm talking about legalized drug abuse. I'm talking about drugs that we prescribe on a regular basis that are actually related to 250,000 deaths. 250,000 deaths. That makes prescription drugs the number four cause of death in America.
Per what? Per 250,000 per what?
Per year.
Per year?
Yeah, I mean, we have about 2 million deaths a year, and 10% roughly of these deaths, 11%, are due to prescription drugs.
Quarter million.
Because of adverse reactions to these drugs. Oftentimes, maybe they're not taken quite correctly. Other times, they are perhaps prescribed not quite correctly. And other times, you have interactions. You know, people over 60 years of age, if they have more than four drugs a day, no pharmacologist, no physician can predict the possible interactions in the body.
Wow.
So for people over 60, we need to be really trying to have greater respect for these powerful biochemical agents. And whenever you are over 60, Be careful that you don't take so many drugs because the interactions that nobody can predict. That's why it's so important that I tell my patients, be sure you work with one pharmacist. You work with one drugstore because they usually have a computer and they can track you. So when you go and see different physicians and they prescribe different medications, the pharmacist can put into the computer and say, oh, Mrs. Smith, this is drug number 7. Let me take a look at these drugs. Oh, and he is the PhD. He is a trained man. He said, oh, by the way, maybe I should really give your doctor a call because I noticed that there are several drugs that probably shouldn't be used together. Let me double check with your doctor and get some counsel what he might want to do. Maybe we can give you a different drug. See, it is so important, especially for people over 60, to work with one pharmacist that can monitor the medications that you're on and also perhaps take a look at potential side effects through interactions that will take place. Are you with me there?
Absolutely. That makes all kinds of sense. I'm loving that. Dr. Deal, there's another factor that plays into our great hunger for drugs in this country. This is prescription drugs and non-prescription drugs. When you start feeling bad and something begins to hurt that maybe hadn't hurt before, You begin to get a little afraid. There's a fear factor here because you know that maybe that pain can turn into something that's going to take you out. I'm sure that when you have people come into the Coronary Health Improvement Project, there's probably some fear in some of the eyes of those sitting in front of you for those first few nights when you start telling them, you know, let's see if we can get you off these medicines. How do you overcome that fear?
The patient has to understand that the number one defense of the body is to have a strong immune system. That immune system is built by having a balanced lifestyle. It means that you get enough sleep. It means that you have a proper exercise program. It means that you have good nutritional foods that go into your system. These are the kind of things that build the first line of defense for the body. Then the second line is, if these don't hold back whatever ailment you have, then you begin to look at what can I do in terms of some medication. That's when your physician should really say, you know, in this situation, you know, you need to have some medication. For instance, if I have a person coming in with a blood pressure of 200 of 130, that's very high blood pressure. This is not the time to say, hey, by the way, I think you need to reduce your salt intake. Yeah. And then in 3-4 weeks, your blood pressure will come down quite nicely. No. At that time, with an extreme high blood pressure, the very best thing you can do is take that medication and then gradually wean yourself off it by making lifestyle changes. But in most cases, the conditions are not really that dangerous that you have to look for powerful medications. Medications are helpful when it comes to infectious diseases. When you have an infection, you know, you don't say, well, I'm going to go to bed and I do a cold water friction treatment here and I go and have a massage. No. When you have an infection, a serious infection, you go and see a physician, make sure that he has the right antibiotic for you to help you, right?
Right, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, but when it comes to chronic illnesses like diabetes and hypertension and high cholesterol and overweight and arthritis, this is not the time to really look for the medications. I mean, that's what we have been doing.
Yes.
So we have been swallowing the Vioxx until Vioxx was taken off the market. We have swallowed the Resulin that was for the diabetes until Resulin was taken off the market. Then we swallowed the Avandia drug, which is now being under serious consideration to be taken off the market. Then you take Zetia. That's a statin drug that is being used for reducing cholesterol. There are problems there. And then people are swallowing Fosamax, a drug for stronger bones.
Yes, yeah.
And again, there are now side effects becoming more apparent. You use them over a period of time, and there have been reported now some jaws that have fractured because the drug apparently changes the structure of the bone itself. It might make it denser, but it changes the structure. And so there are all these kind of problems that oftentimes surface, only after, not always immediately. So the drug seems to be safe. They go through testing phase, of course, and after about 3-4 years, things are looking okay. And then suddenly, after 5, 6, 7 years, the accumulation of the medication begins to show up in the body. And then all of a sudden, like with Avandia, you have now heart attacks with Vioxx. You had heart attacks with Rezolin. You had problems there. And people say, wow, the side effects are worse than the curative effect, and
that's true.
They're withdrawn then, right?
Yeah.
But in the meantime, the company made billions of dollars with heavy advertising, and it's just a very, very difficult situation. My point has always been, we need to look at disease as something, as a warning. What can we do to change, to perhaps take care of the disease, especially when it comes to these chronic illnesses that we talked about.
All right. We'll take a short break. And when we come back, Dr. Deal, I want to ask you how we determine when we are standing there and something is hurting and something is bothering us, how we determine whether we're having a chronic situation or an acute situation. Do we go see Dr. Deal and have the CHIP program, or do we go to the emergency room? Let's find out on our return, so stay tuned. Did you know that growing old doesn't have to mean growing sick? You may lose your hair, but you don't have to lose your health. Some 100 years ago, it was difficult to find diseases such as coronary heart disease, stroke, cancer, and diabetes. These conditions are not the result of aging. They're the result of lifestyle choices. That's right. We have no one to blame but ourselves. Exercise, rest, and eating a whole foods, plant-based diet can put old on hold.
I'm Dr. Hans Dior, inviting you to join the people in the know and enroll in the next CHIP program in your area. It can make all the difference.
Hi, I'm Dr. Roger Greenlaw. I have sent many of my patients to the CHIP program with great success. It's the finest program to help people take charge of their health and to live better lives.
For more information about the Coronary Health Improvement Project and to find resources to help you live a healthier, happier life, visit chiphealth.org. That's chiphealth.org. We're talking with Dr. Hans Dehl today about what he calls legalized drug abuse. Now, Dr. Dehl, I want to make sure that we understand that there are times, and you've brought this out many times, there are times when we need those drugs from the doctor. They're absolutely essential. But what? Give us a little checklist, a little rundown of what we can do and say to ourselves to determine whether we need to see a medical doctor or whether we need to see a nutritionist. Where's the dividing line there?
You begin to listen to your body after a while, and if you think this is just a very innocent little problem, like you have a head cold, you reach for fly swatter and not for big gun medicine.
Okay, all right.
Or,
all right.
Like antibiotics. You don't go for the sledgehammer treatment, but you look for a little fly swatter and get rid of the old problem. If you have a tension headache, you don't have to dash for some for the medicine cabinet, but you just take maybe a brisk walk or a nap, and that tension headache will be gone. But there are times when obviously you need to have some medication, and when you begin to realize that something is hanging around, when you realize that you are developing a fever, your throat is very dry, I better have this checked out. This could be serious.
Yeah.
You see a physician if you feel there's something that is really troubling you. And when your physician offers you the medication, you want to be a very well-informed consumer.
Now,
right?
How do we do that? How do you – you don't want to second-guess the physician. The physician should know what he or she is talking about.
Mm-hmm.
How can you be part of the team to make sure that the prescription drugs you are putting in your body are safe for you?
Well, I mean, you should really ask some proper questions. And if you cannot get the answers from the doctor because there are too many people waiting for him, just talk to the nurse. The nurse oftentimes can give you some answers. You can ask the question, tell me, this medication that you're going to give me, what's the exact name? You know, sometimes I ask people when they come to our CHIP program, you know, what medication are you taking? Well, this pink pill. I don't know.
The little stripes on it. Yeah, I know that one.
And then, honey, could you tell me, what is that drug that I'm taking? No. You want to know what medication you take because these are powerful biochemical agents. They deserve our respect. And so you want to know what the drug is. So be sure you know exactly the name and the strength of the medication. So the next thing is you want to ask your doctor or your nurse, tell me, how will this pill, how will this medication really help me? Are there some side effects that I should be aware of?
No, how this medicine, in other words, they should say, well, this will reduce your fever or this will make your stomach ache go away.
That's correct.
Because if that doesn't happen, then you can say, well, this isn't working.
But if
you don't know what it's supposed to do, you don't know if it's not working or not.
Correct.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
Let's say that you come with high blood pressure. You want, and the doctor prescribes it. You want to say, well, what is the name of this drug again? Oh, is there a popular name for it? Yeah, there's a name that is the brand name. Oh, yeah, that's easier to remember than those Latin-sounding words, right?
Yes.
So you know the name, and then you say, tell me, what is this drug doing exactly for me? Oh, yeah, it brings my blood pressure down. And how long do you think it should take before I can see a change? Oh, probably 10 days, 2 weeks, no problem. And be sure you take your blood pressure every morning, every evening, record it, and take a look at it. Oh, very good. Are there any risks? And, of course, when you go to the pharmacy, the pharmacist will give you a printout that says with this kind of drug, you can expect a dry mouth or you can expect to have a fatigue or you might feel drowsy. So be careful when you take the medication. Check out whether you have actual drowsiness. Otherwise, perhaps you shouldn't drive. It might also sometimes give you a headache. It could make you dizzy. You could feel bloated. This is all with high blood pressure medication. Or maybe you have some sweating or indigestion. You might even be, sometimes be emotionally a little bit unstable. And you might have sometimes, in some people, a slurred speech. And also for men, there could sometimes be some impotence. There could be a lessening of sexual desire. And there could be some erection problems. Oh, you know, oftentimes nobody tells you that.
Yeah. And then you think you have a new problem, you go find a new drug for the new problem.
That's
okay,
that's
all right.
Where does that
stop? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So you want to ask what side effects can I expect so that I can be prepared for it. Otherwise, I begin to worry that I have another disease.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
And then, of course, you also want to say, tell me exactly when do I take this? Do I take it in the morning? Do I take it at night? Do I take it with food, without food? You know, these are the kind of things that you want to really ask. And then, oh my goodness, I missed my medication. And so your spouse is on your case. Did you take your medication? Oh my goodness, I forgot. Well, should I take a double dose now?
Oh my.
No, usually you
that
don't do that. Yeah, see. And then also, you also want to always double check. When you buy a medication prescription drug, there's usually today a listing of all the different side effects, what you can expect, what you should do. Be sure you keep that little sheet with the medication. So when you feel some symptom, you don't feel quite well, take a look and see, could this possibly be the medication or is this something else that's happening? See? Because if you think it's something else happening, you run to another doctor that is a specialist in that, and you don't tell him that I'm already on this medication. So he's treating you now for possibly another disease, not realizing that it might possibly be related to the drug that you're using for something else. So I think you want to have good communication with your healthcare provider because they're interested in protecting you and protecting themselves.
Yeah. And it's so important that we say that this is a way of building a bridge, giving you time, giving you a second chance to do it right, to change the diet. Don't think that once you've got these medicines coming in and your blood pressure starts dropping that you have cured yourself. Am I right, Dr. Deal?
Yeah. Let me make another point. We talked about high blood pressure medications, hypertensive medication. We oftentimes have expectations from the doctor to give us that drug. And, you know, the physician oftentimes with time pressures and so on, you know, just gives you sometimes what you want. And sometimes there's also some prescriptive promiscuity. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't just happen to Michael Jackson. I mean, really.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
100 different drugs.
Yeah.
But we are a society where people take 10, 15, 20, 25 drugs a day.
A day. Yeah.
I mean, listener, that does not make sense. You need to really find a physician that can help you and coordinate all the different medications. And because you might have 5-6 different specialists, and everyone gives the very best medication that they know as a specialist for their organ you may need.
And these people don't talk to each other. Have you noticed this, Dr.
That's
Deal?
Correct.
Why don't
that's
they
correct.
Communicate with each other more?
Well, you need to have a quarterback physician that says, let's take a look at all these medications. Let's see, what are the interaction here potentially? What can we do? Is there something that you can do? For instance, when it comes to high blood pressure, we oftentimes prescribe a medication to take the salt down in the body.
Yeah.
It's a desalting pill. And why don't we tell people, hey, don't eat so much salt, then you don't need the pills.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you see?
Yeah.
But people oftentimes don't want to hear that. And that's why we have a CHIP program where people have 30, 40 hours of instruction of how to really become master of their own health and body. And that's why we recommend that you go to our website and to take a look at it.
Absolutely. www.chiphealth.org. I want you to head over there, or www.chiphealth.com. Either way, you can find some good information. What I like most about this, Dr. Deal, other than knowing you and talking with you, is the hope and the message that you get out to people that says, you know what, you don't have to be a victim here. You don't have to just sit back and just let a medical scientist do the best he or she can to help you. There is a way you can move even beyond that to bring healing to your body. And this is a good thing. It must make you feel pretty good to do that, Dr. Deal.
Yeah, you know, I really want to maybe make a summarization statement here, and that is when it comes to these chronic illnesses like overweight and diabetes and arthritis and high cholesterol, and so on, you know, for these kind of chronic diseases, which by definition means we don't really have a cure, the drugs are basically helping you to control the numbers. They may actually make you feel better, but they don't really take care of the causes. And so while modern medicine can offer drugs and surgery, There is another thing that we perhaps should consider, and that is that we can oftentimes help ourselves to become part of the team.
Yeah.
And we need to learn how we can adopt healthful lifestyles. We have to learn how we can get into a regular exercise program. We have to learn how to pursue perhaps some spiritual goals and find more balance for our lives. This all will contribute to the body to be in a good fighting condition with these diseases that we have. And you work with your physician in a team, your tandem, your actively involved, rather than saying, well, there's nothing I can do.
Yeah.
I'm 45 years of age. These are diseases that come. No. You're just too passive. You need to get up and do something. Start with a walking program. Start with looking at your diet. Get into a new balance of your lifestyle, and your physician will be glad to work with you.
Absolutely. Well, our time has flown by, Dr. Deal. Thank you so much. Always love the guidance that you provide for us. Thank you. And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Dr. Hans Deal inviting you to begin enjoying health by choice, not by chance. Goodbye, everyone.